So if you want to go to Matthew 13 and have that marked in your Bible, please. Matthew 13, from verse 44 to 52. Hello. Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16. And also Colossians 3, verse 10, or around verse 10. We're just going to use those as landmarks today. I'm unable to tell you if we'll get it all the way there, but we'll try and do something. Amen. We just want to give the Holy Spirit as much room as possible to do what He wants to do. And so we'll have those markers there, but we'll wait and see what happens. I haven't preached in a while. It's been 4 weeks, so I'm excited. I've got 10 pages of notes, literally. And so this could be really, really, really quick. Oh my goodness. Are we awake? Come on. Come on. Let's get with the program. Amen. How good is that? Get with the program. We haven't got a program. It's good, eh? But what I'd like to say first of all today is that I really hope today that you start to let your mind wander. You know, a few weeks ago I spoke about this, and that we've been taught by all of our upbringing that it's really dangerous to let your mind wander. Who's ever heard that before? Anyone? Don't let your mind wander, you're going to get into bad things. Well, that was actually an assignment of the enemy to stop you thinking that if your mind wanders, it's going to actually end up good. And if you don't let your mind wander, you're never going to access the fullness of His kingdom, because there's places He wants to take you that you don't have grids or boundaries for. And so we need to actually ask the Holy Spirit to get our minds to start wandering in His kingdom. I guarantee you, if you live as a born-again believer, if your mind starts to wander in Christ, you're not going to end up in some horrible place or sin. But we've been taught, even in the church culture, don't let your mind wander, brother, sister. Don't let your mind wander. You're going to end up in a bad place. No, that's actually illegal in Christ. Through Christ, He allows us to retake our imagination, which He made, and use it for greatness and good. And so we're going to go on a little bit of an adventure today in the Spirit of God. We are living in the land of renewal. If you hadn't worked that out yet, it's where we're at. Amen. And I want to take some time this morning. Who's ever heard of revival? Yeah? Everyone's heard of revival? Is there anyone here who hasn't heard of revival? So I just get a grid. Everyone's heard of revival? Amen. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down what revival has been and what it should have been, and then what it should be. So what it has been, what it shouldn't have been, and then what it should have been. That's just going to be my intro. So if I'm here by 4 o'clock, just tap me on the shoulder and say, brother, I need to get somewhere, right? But what's happened in the body of Christ is that we've focused our attention on revival to be the crescendo of the Christian experience. And so what we have people seeking revival, or seeking the Spirit of God to come, and revival is supposed to be this incredible crescendo of the Christian life. Well, I want to bring some correct theology today and say that revival is only an invitation to the gate of renewal. And we don't live revival. The word is not even found in the New Testament. The word revival is nowhere in the New Testament at all. It's found in one obscure translation in Ezekiel, but the word itself is actually not in the New Testament. That doesn't mean it's not a good thing. Revivals are incredible. When the revivals of God came, they came to do one thing, and that was to reorient or realign the church back to where it was supposed to be. So we could say this: revival was sent or is sent by God when we're not in the right place. Because a revival reorientates you back to where you should be. But you can live in a place called renewal every day. It says that you are being renewed every day, and that land of renewal doesn't stop. Most revivals, they're actually in history right now, there's never been a revival that started that's still going. You can challenge me on that. There's never been a revival that has started and kept going until now. There's always stopped for some reason. And the most of the reason that revivals stop is because people get burnt out, tired, or sin happens and the Lord removes himself from a place or a people. And so revival is a great thing to get us into a postcode where we haven't been before, but revival is a horrible place to stop. If we just stop at revival, all we get is this pouring out of the Spirit, all this cool stuff happens, and that's it. We don't want to stop there. The easiest way I can explain revival to you is this, is that if you had gone underwater and you were now breathless and lifeless, the word revival in the Old Testament means this, to put the paddles on you and to shock you back to life. Okay? Now, if I'm in here with you guys today, I don't think we need to be shocked back to life every weekend. Yes? Is that a true thing? Yeah? And so instead of seeking revival, and culturally we've been doing that as a larger body of Christ, instead of seeking revival all the time, we need to be revived, amen? So when he revives us, that's an opportunity and invitation to come into the kingdom in a different way. And so instead of us seeking what a lot of the church is doing is seeking revival, what we want to do is we want to actually partner with each other and with Christ and live in renewal. There's a huge difference between revival and renewal, okay? And so I'm going to break some things down today about how where we have been, where we are, and then where we are going. And prophetically, I pray the Holy Spirit opens up to us an understanding about what we don't have to do and an understanding about what we're doing, okay? And so revival is an incredible tool that the Lord has used to bring his people back to him. So you could talk about Cane Ridge, you could talk about Wales, you could talk about the Shetland Islands, you could talk about the last revival, big revival in Australia in 76 with Jeffrey Bingham and Trevor Faggot in South Australia. Okay, those two men. Okay, that last big revival in 76. They actually, I'm not talking about this. It swept South Australia where government changed, where regions changed. Not just a good feeling happened in a church. It was actually out amongst the people. Right. We could talk about all those, and we could study all of those, and that's really, really good to study. But all of those revivals happened before now, and so we need to be asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do now, Holy Spirit? What's on your agenda? And I feel like what he's doing in pockets across the earth with people that have the same DNA as us are actually finding themselves in a place where they don't need to be shocked back to life all the time because they've found the place of renewal in intimacy with Jesus, and that's driving them into this perpetual renewal all the time. And so instead of having to go 5 years and going, oh, we need a revival, we just keep going and going and going and going in Christ. Okay? Is that okay? And so what we have is, if you pictured a map, just picture a map somewhere, revival, and you're like, whoa, this is a map. Oh, power. Wow, love. Whoa. The lost get saved. It's awesome. And then that's like an invitation to a doorway called the kingdom of God. But if we never step through the doorway of the kingdom of God, then we need another revival. And so a week later, we're like, oh, I need that again. And so what we need to do is actually, Jesus said this. Before the cross, Jesus called his people disciples of him. Okay, so everyone heard the term disciple of Jesus? Has anyone ever called themselves a disciple of Jesus? Well, I'll tell the truth. Amen. You're right. So a disciple of Jesus, right? But in Matthew 13:52, Jesus says this, in 51, he says this, listen, I want you to be disciples of the kingdom. Okay? And so we have this thing where before the cross, they were disciples of Christ. When he died and was resurrected, they become disciples of the kingdom. And so instead of them having to have Jesus around all the time and them getting stuff from Jesus all the time, he gave them the ability to have the fullness of him now on the earth. Okay? And so you see these disciples' lives transformed. The book of Acts, right, looks nothing like the life the believers had before Christ died. Okay? Now, yes, the believers before Christ died, they released miracles and healing and power only when he gave them permission to. Okay? He said, listen, go out now, I'll give you power. 72 of you go out. I'll give you power. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. The sons of thunder, They were like, Lord, give us your power so we can smite people. No amen. They had no idea about the power that they had within them that was coming on them. They're like, give us this power so we can smite people. He's like, no way. Just because someone annoys you doesn't mean they deserve to be smoted. Is that the word? I don't know. Right? And Christ then, I believe one of the things he did with the Holy Spirit is that he released this information about the Spirit of God so they would wait. Now, I'm going to ask a big question here, and we could have different answers, and that's okay. Was Pentecost a revival? Right? Because think about this, because it's been taught for a long time that Pentecost was a revival. Pentecost was a fulfillment of prophecy. Okay? They weren't in some erroneous sin as disciples. They weren't in some backward state as disciples. They were actually, it says this, they were together in one place, one mind, one body in full unity. That does not sound to me like they needed some type of choof, right? What it sounds to me is that they were so knitted together, they had a koinonia, that actually what happened was is that out of that, they stepped into a renewal that didn't stop till they went to be with the Lord again, okay? And so I don't hear, if you read the book of Acts, you don't hear about any of those disciples having to have revival again. You don't hear about them going, oh, I'm going really bad with my walk with the Lord. I better wait for the revival to come. I've got to pray for revival. He had an experience with the Holy Spirit, and that experience wasn't a one-time thing. It was a continual daily commune with the Holy Spirit, and that was allowing him to live in full renewal. Could we say together today that Peter's life at the end of his life looked more like Jesus than at the start of his life? Yeah, testify to that? Okay. Could we say that somehow Agabus's four daughters who prophesied looked more like Jesus when they were prophesying than before the cross had happened? Yes, because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit then, right? And we could take all these examples. We could say, listen, Stephen's life, although you might think his ministry was short, so we know the story of Stephen, right? Okay, he gets stoned. They believe Stephen had about a 6 months ministry. Imagine that. You get born again, you get set free, you get healed, you're a burning man. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit. And then you have a 6 months ministry and you get stoned to death. And as he's getting stoned to death, he says, Lord, don't count it upon them. I just see you in glory. And it says, I love this, it says Jesus stood up. Oh. And so we have all these people, examples in the New Testament where they're not seeking this revival, this they're actually living in renewal. They've found the kingdom of God, and there's been no need for them to go back to being shocked back to life. Although that's a good thing, by the way. Revivals are great. But they learned this intimacy relationship with Christ, and that allowed them to live in perpetual renewal. They were continually going forth into renewal with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that okay? Everyone all right? So revival is the gate to renewal, which is in the land of the kingdom. Every one of us in here right now is a signpost and a marker for his kingdom. Everyone. Everyone in here, everyone who's born again, who believes in the Holy Spirit being powerful today, who believes that Christ is resurrected and believes that Yahweh is going to send his son back to make war and judge the nations, is a marker of the kingdom. What we've done in revival, especially in revival movements, is there's been these men of power for the hour. Ever heard that term? There's actually a TV show called that, Men of Power for the Hour. Poo! And if you're a woman, then you're a second-class citizen. Like, it was illegal, right? And what we've done is we've come into Christ and we've realized it's not about a man of power for 1 hour. It's about a company of people, sons and daughters, who steward his kingdom full-time. It's not like a man of power for an hour and then after they get off the set, they've got 23 hours of not being in the Spirit, right? We are a people who Christ has said we can have the full inheritance of his kingdom right here on earth now. Yes, he will champion and consolidate everything when he comes, but he wants us to steward renewal now. He wants you to be able to go to Mount Tomar and just be there as a person sent and see renewal come. He wants you to be able to go to Shane's Park near Blacktown and just release the Spirit of God and see renewal come. He wants you to be able to be in every single sphere of society, whether you work in a bakery making pies or you are a confidant to a politician. He wants you to be someone who's not looking for, but actually releasing the renewal of God. That wherever you go, you're being renewed, which means everything around you is being renewed. The word renewed is beautiful. I'm going to get in there in a little while. There has been this camp bud in the body of Christ that has spoken about the Holy Spirit not being alive today. They actually believe that the Holy Spirit somehow died. I don't argue with people about theology anymore. I just surrender myself to Christ. If I'm wrong, He'll bring me in. And if they're wrong, He'll bring them in. Amen? We don't have to war against each other. We can just come in. But cessationism has actually stopped revival moving as well. And so a cessationist thought or a person who doesn't believe the Holy Spirit is real today, what they'll believe is this. We don't need revival because we've got everything right now. That's a really prideful thought. Because if you look at that, movement of churches, it does not look like Jesus. And the Bible said that when the Spirit of God come upon us, we will start to look more and more and more and more and more like Christ. And so it's a proud thought to say the Spirit of God's not moving today. But there's also another camp in charismania. Okay, let me just lay out the platform of what I see in the church. We've got charismophobia. Spirit's not real. Charismania. Christ is no longer the center. Some weird things happened. And then we want to try and be charismata. All right, the Bible says, people of the Spirit. No longer fearing the Holy Spirit, but also not getting ourselves into a place where it gets really weird. And Jesus is not the center anymore. And so what they've done over here, this movement, which is huge, by the way, this movement has said, all we want is signs and wonders. All we want is the signs and wonders, the gifts of the Spirit. Don't worry about character. We just want the signs and wonders. And what happens over here, this gets unbridled or it gets too loose, right? Over here, I'm running today. It's good, right? Over here, it's really, really dry. Is the Word of God over here powerful? Yes. But over here, too much of this Spirit stuff, it gets too loose, right? Don bought a word a few months ago. You have to be in here. You have to have Word and Spirit, okay? We have to be people that actually are living in the Word of God and living in the Spirit of God, and there's this beautiful meshing that takes place. The Word of God keeps us grounded into the foundational doctrines of Christ, and the Spirit of God allows revelation to come upon those words, okay? We all right? Excellent, okay. And so we have these incredible things happening all across the earth right now where the Spirit of God is moving in authentic ways. Okay, he does it here. He does it in places in Sydney. He does it places all over the place. He's moving in authentic ways. Let's jump into Matthew 13:44 because there's some incredible revelation the Lord wants to give us today out of these parables that Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And so I'll just give you a moment to jump in there. Haven't even touched my notes yet. Amen. Okay. So I'd like to pose a question to us this morning. Who would like royal power and dominion? Right? Royal power and dominion. Not some pseudo power. We're talking about royal power and dominion. Well, instead of thinking about the word kingdom as a place, the word kingdom, it's basileos is the word, it means this. Royal power and dominion given to a son or a daughter. And the word is very specific. It's not gender-based. It's son or daughter. So all those movements that say that women can't do anything, read the Bible. Amen? Okay. Yeah, someone said amen. Glad it was one of the ladies. Amen. Right? But this word, this is so good, right? This word kingdom, and I'll just read it first. It says this, verse 44 says this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in the search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, Men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the containers and threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, that which was old and that which is new. You get to become a master. I'll read this again, right? It says this. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house. So we're going to break this down now to see that revival gets us so far, but what we really, really want is renewal. What we really want to stay in is renewal all the time. Okay? I've got some bold statements to say, but listen, let's get back to this word basileos, which means kingdom. It comes from the word, guess what? The word is basis. Right? And that word basis means this, and you're going to love this for all you Old Testament people in here, which I'm one of, it's so good. Basis means this, stepping and walking everywhere I put my foot. And if I went back, I could give you a reference to Joshua 1:31, Deuteronomy 11:24, and about 18 other verses where it mentions wherever God puts your foot, that there he has given to you. We can only see that, but in this age, with faith eyes. Amen? Amen? But you can actually literally take that translation, the kingdom of heaven is like, as this, the kingdom is this, where you put your foot, he has given it to you. Just like he gave to Joshua, he so gives it to you. Would you believe that today? Would you start to believe that wherever you put your foot, you have been given royal power and dominion as long as it's in Christ? Amen? Okay. Are we okay? Yeah, we're good? Excellent. Half a page done. Praise God. The word treasure, so it says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The word treasure there is where we get the word thesaurus from. It's theosaurus. And that word means this, a storehouse that is literally full of every jewel and gem you could ever hope for. So where you step, you have the ability in Christ, it's going to sound like a big statement, you have the ability in Christ to release what is in the heavenly realm, stored up, right? Stored up, completely full. When you take a piece of that out, so to speak, and you release it, it doesn't get empty. It remains completely full as you're stepping out in faith. Amen? We okay? It comes from the word, but, and I love this, it comes from this word, treasury. And it comes from the word, an Old Testament word, it says this, God has an inexhaustible treasury. Do we believe that today? Jesus has an inexhaustible treasury that he said he released to you. I think that's fantastic. We could stop there and just fall down like they do in heaven right now. The word, it goes on and says this, is hidden in a field. That word hidden is a bit of a Hebrew play on words, and especially in the Greek it means something else, but I want to talk about one of the translations says this, that the word hidden means to give someone an escape notice. You ever know anyone who needs an escape notice? Mate, you just got to get out of that stuff. Like, I reckon one of the best tools for marriage is give each other your passcodes on your phone, and at any time of the day or night, your partner just go, oh yeah, what are you up to? Oh, that's so good. That's a bit dangerous. Cass said I shouldn't say that, but I said it. Right? I tell you what, that will drive intimacy. Because guess what happens in the kingdom? We are people of accountability. Right? Yeah? So Jesus didn't give you all his power so you could just be some loose cannon. He gave you all of this in trust because you are in accountability to him. Amen? Accountability to him. People like this. No, I'm just joking. It's all right. Won't go there today. The word field means land. It comes from the word agros, which comes from the word ago, which means this. To lead one and take one with you. So literally, when you step out in faith, the kingdom of heaven is like this. You step into faith. All of a sudden, as you do that step, the treasury of heaven is opened up to you. And then wherever you go, whatever land you go into, that Christ is leading you into, or the Spirit of God is leading you into, you start to have royal power and dominion over that place. That's why a 12-year-old girl with a burning heart for Christ can be in a public high school and see revival happen, which will hopefully lead to renewal. That's why a 13-year-old boy can be in the worst place in the world. You know, he might have some condition happening, but if he gets a word from heaven that his science teacher is going to get saved, every time he walks into science, oh, you're going to get saved. He might not say it to that person directly, but I guarantee if he gets a word from heaven, he's going to release that word, amen? And God's royal dominion and power will show up. Maybe, this probably is not referred to anyone here, but maybe you've got someone difficult that you work with. That probably wouldn't happen in this room, because everyone you work with is perfect, right? But maybe you need to ask heaven for a word for that person, and every time you go into that workplace, every time you go into that workplace or leaving it, you're decreeing the word that heaven gave you for that person, even if it hurts you. What do I mean? I mean this. You might get a word from God that says, that person's going to go do this and this, and you're like, I want to do that. How dare you make them do that, God? They're so evil and mean to me. But if you start to prophesy the word of heaven over their life, you start to be a releaser of his kingdom. Just try it. Just try it. I've got a bit of homework for everyone. You don't like homework, do we? Oh, it's school holidays. We shouldn't have any homework. I just pray for you. I encourage you to do this. Ask the Holy Spirit for two things. Ask him for a town and a street. You might just feel led to go somewhere and just spend 20 minutes in your car. People think I'm weird. I want to do this, right? Where are you going? I'm just going to go to this street here. Why? I've never been there before, but I'm just going to drive down this street, up and down this street, and I'm just going to pray. Just going to release the blessings of Yahweh over this street. Do I have anything specific over any house? Maybe not. Do I have any word of knowledge about someone in the houses? Maybe not. But what I do have is a word from heaven that says, wherever I put my foot, and in a street, you've got to put your foot slowly on the accelerator, not fast, right? 50 zones, right? You know, thanks, Dom. Amen. And so as I'm driving down that street, I'm saying, Lord, just bless every house. And you know, he might say, listen, I want you to stop just there. Just stop on the side of that road. What for? I told you to stop. I want you to stop. We don't have to have all the information sometimes, but we have to have the faith that he's going to release it. And so I encourage you over the next couple of weeks, spend some time driving to a street you haven't gone before, led by God, and just start blessing it. Just start blessing it. What, for what reason? Those people in those houses, they deserve Christ. And they deserve the kingdom of God. Not because they've done anything spectacular, but because Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. Our friends are here. Your house didn't burn down. Praise God. All the men started to pray. Everyone else was praying. What time did that fire get downgraded, Michael? Hallelujah. What time did we start praying? We just thank Yahweh. You know, I love it because I said the wind's going this way, and all of a sudden it just moved. Well, that's good. It chucked the left. Amen. Fire's chucking lefts and right. But we are purveyors. We are people that actually have the kingdom of God in us. And we are able to release that kingdom. If it was a kingdom that was just for us, then we'd be walking around all proud, wouldn't we? You know, oh, this is my kingdom. It's his kingdom, and it's released in the name of Christ. Amen. Revival takes us to the doorway of renewal, and if we have faith to step into the kingdom, then we're going to see his royal power and dominion come all over this place. It's so good. Can we move on? Is that all right? Yes? Excellent. Hope people are joyful this morning. Yeah, that I like that, eh? You could be going through the hardest thing in your life and with this joy unspeakable. How good is that? You're like, I meet some people that said, oh, how's your relationship with Jesus going? Well, you know what? When you come into a revelation of who Christ is, it doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what your environment around you says. He is absolutely for you. He's never, ever going to be against you. And the fullness of his kingdom is in you. That's so good. Hello, beautiful girl. Amen. All right. Are we happy to move on? Are we happy? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to finish off, hopefully, in Colossians 3, where Andy's going to pick up in 2 weeks' time at camp. He didn't know that I was going to do that, but I just felt like it was a good thing to lead into that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How good is Corinthians? Probably the most abused Bible verse in the whole of the Bible at a wedding. What is it? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. That's all about the gifts of the Spirit. So it's not about marriage. It's about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Yet people use it for their weddings, right? And it's not a bad thing. It's just probably out of context for a wedding, but that's okay. Amen. Hope I don't offend anyone who uses it at their wedding. If I did, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 16. It says this. It says this. So we do not lose heart. Oh, wait up, sorry. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Who can agree to that? Our our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporary or transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Wow. The things that are unseen are eternal. You know what I found out reading church history and also being in revival services? I was one of the first Aussies to get to Lakeland, right? Lakeland, Florida, when a real revival broke out. And there were thousands of people. I saw a guy run across the stage and jump and hit a bloke in the stomach with his head. Like this. Boom, a minister. Boom. This guy goes whack on the ground. He has emphysema. You probably shouldn't do that to someone with emphysema unless you get a word from heaven. Right? He comes back the next day with a medical certificate carrying his oxygen mask and his tank saying, yesterday I had emphysema and now I don't. And I said to the guy, his name was Jim Drown, I said, what on earth made you run and hit that man? It wasn't a tackle. It was like one of these, like it was like watching a dolphin hit somebody in the belly. He was like flat. I said, what possessed you? He said, the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, it's so good, right? And there was incredible miracles and incredible salvation and power breaking out. But at the same time, there was complete dysfunction behind the scenes. And there was striving. And there was sin. And there was all these things happening. And it was a beautiful moment for the church to come back to Christ. Right? But it didn't produce this enduring renewal because it eventually stopped. Okay? And it stopped because the weight of what the Lord released became too heavy for the man that was leading it to carry. Okay? And we need to understand that revival is incredible. Like, it's amazing. When you hear about the Welsh revival, where they had to close all the pubs. How good's that? How good's your prayer life that you're praying and the Lapston Hotel shuts? I'm being serious. Like, what are you praying for? Or you're praying and the Royal Hotel, instead of it being this place of, let's say, interesting things, then it becomes a house of God. Like, these are the things that revival does, right? So revival, it breaks things in that weren't there before. But revival is always bringing people back to Jesus Christ. It's always supposed to be bringing people back to Christ. So then he can say this, here's renewal. Here's the whole of the kingdom. It's yours, freely given by my blood. So take it, okay? So take it. I pray today that you'll be like me and who prays and prays for revival all the time. We're not saying revival is a terrible thing at all. Revival is awesome. But if it's only that, if all we're doing is just that, just the boom, the power, whoa, I don't sense in the Word of God that's where He wants us to stop. I feel that's where He wants us to start. Amen? We were up in a revival in Orange. I'm not sure if Kath was with me on this trip, but we went up there and there was this huge preacher from America come in, doing all this stuff, Anyway, they said to me, oh, can you do the first meeting? Because apparently the first meeting is always weak, which I don't believe because the Holy Ghost is real all the time, right? And so, oh, yeah, you do the first meeting. I'm like, I don't care what I'll do. I'll just follow him. And so we start to pray and we start to worship and people just start falling down. No one's praying for them. Just whoop, he moves. Anyway, this boy came up the front. He said, can I have prayer? I said, sure, what's the matter? He came up and he had a bit of bone as big as my fist, like poking out of his chest. Like he had a third arm or something coming out of his body, right? And he said, I need healing for this. I said, yeah, you sure do. And so I said, put your hand on your chest. He put his hand on and we prayed. And all of a sudden it goes like this, right? And everyone starts freaking out. His mum's like, ah! And I'm like, relax, it's Jesus. That's what he does. His sister had a stigmata in her eyes, both eyes. Now, stigmata, it's really bad for you. You can't see properly without glasses. She has those big Coke bottle glasses, you know, the real thick ones. So we pray, but sometimes I'm not that cluey when I'm praying, right? And so I'm praying, and then I stop and say, is anything different? She goes, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, damn it. She's still got her glasses on. No wonder she can't, nothing's different. So she takes her glasses off, and she can see normal. She puts her glasses back, and she goes, I can't see anything. She takes them off, and she's like, I can see. Puts them back on. Then her mum says this, what about the Centrelink benefit? And I said to her mum, if Jesus can come and heal your son and your daughter on the same night, I'm sure he can take care of your Centrelink benefit. Right? Oh. So that happens, right? And then that meeting took place. There was like 200 people got saved that weekend. A few months later, I find out maybe 12 of them are actually in church. Because the revival came, boom, right? But no one stewarded renewal after it. Okay? And so we have this incredible thing where the Spirit of God is poured out. Like He wants to pour Himself out. But then we need to understand that's a doorway. It's an initiation into renewal. Okay? As I will say this loudly. It's not a doorway into creating another denomination. Anyone get that? Right? We've got 40,000 of those around the world. We don't need any more. Okay? What we do need, but, is sons and daughters who will steward moves of the Spirit into renewal that will never, ever stop. Amen? Can someone say amen to that? All right, we're good. We're good. Let's go to Colossians 3:10. We're here. It's good. Colossians 3:10. Who wrote the book of Colossians? Yeah. Yep, the Apostle Paul. Saint Paul. How good is it to be a saint? Do you wake up calling yourself a saint? Yeah, I'm a saint. I'm not a saint because of what I did. Amen. We're a saint because of who he is. Amen. Oh, I'm just a sinner getting by. No, no, no. You're a saint who is so successful in Christ that literally whatever you do in him will make incredible impact around the world. Amen. Okay, Colossians 3. I'm not going to camp here because Andy's going to camp us here. And I'm excited about what's going to happen in a few weeks' time. But I just want to go to verse 10 only. It says, and I have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Renewal always leads us to Jesus Christ. Revival should lead us there, but sometimes revival leads us to man or women instead. So Catherine Kuhlman was a powerful woman of God. William Branham was a powerful man of God, but after they passed away, people made denominations about them. So you can be a Coulombite or you can be a Branhamite, right? I just want to follow Christ. Am I thankful for Catherine Kuhlman? 1,000%. Am I thankful for William Branham? 1,000%. But I'm not imitating them. I'm imitating their faith. Because what does the kingdom of God say? Listen, Jesus is going to come back to the earth, correct? And he's going to look for faith. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who found treasure hidden in a field and in his joy went and sold everything to go and buy the field. The kingdom is not about some boom, choop, I found a bit of treasure. The kingdom is about then going and stewarding the whole land. Imagine what was in that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who went on a journey, the Bible says, and he found a fine or precious pearl, and he went and sold everything to buy the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like fishermen who went and fished, and as they caught the fish and they came in, they separated the good fish from the bad fish. Amen? And then angels will come as well and do the same thing. Isn't it? Wow, what a thought. What a day that's going to look like. Whoa, that's going to be a powerful day. Amen? All right, I'm going to read some things to you that I've been writing. So, revival doesn't qualify us for anything. Revival is sent as an invitation to a postcode we haven't fully yet inherited. Revival is sent from Yahweh through the Holy Spirit with Jesus as the head to reorientate the direction of the body of Christ back to Jesus. Revival sends us holiness and purity and repentance and the fire of God to announce a process for cleansing that can happen for every believer and non-believer alike. The body of Christ has either, as at the start, either rejected revival or used revival for its own purposes that are outside of Jesus Christ. Saying we don't need revival or a move of the Spirit, is like so many do, is like saying we are fully complete now and need nothing else. Wowzers, I wrote. That is an arrogant statement. We continually need Jesus and continually the Holy Spirit to come, but we should be stewarding that in a place called renewal. Could it be noted that the fascination, that because of the fascination with revival in the larger body of Christ, we've actually not seen what revival is supposed to be? It's a question I pose to us today. Revival is incredible, and we need revival to happen all across this nation. But we need sons and daughters who will steward from that place into renewal. Revivals have come and gone and will continue to come as men and women of purity and holiness and spiritual integrity seek the one thing mandate of beholding Jesus. Yet revival was never supposed to be the end point. Very much so, revival was supposed to be the door or the gate that enables the born-again believer to inherit the notions of the Holy Spirit, walk them out, and enter into the life movement of growing in the character of Yahweh, so that a son or daughter is growing up bearing the image of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, the great thing about renewal is that if we do this well, our sons and daughters won't have to go through revival. Who can say amen? Could I say an even bolder statement? If we do this well, a whole generation doesn't have to go through revival because they'll be living in renewal. Can I go further? Is that okay? Could we say if we steward this well and are in his heart, could we say today that a whole region wouldn't have to go through revival, but they could just walk in renewal? Could we be bold enough and say that if the companies of people all across this nation started to steward this well and well and well, that instead of some boom, they would just start living in renewal? It's just a question I'm posing. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. It's just a question. I want to start thinking about this. How much do we actually focus on this boom compared to stewarding with God all the time? All the time. All the time. Elijah and Elisha, Elijah walks, it says that Elijah is walking and Elisha is doing what in the field? Hallelujah. Thank you, Nana Eagle. Plowing. With how many herd of oxen? Nah. I'll let you do that for a bit of homework. Right? Lots of oxen. Right? And he's moving with these oxen, right? And he's plowing the field with the oxen. And what does Elijah say to him? What does he do to him? What does he do with the mantle? Amen, Josh. He throws his mantle over him. What's Elisha's response to that? He goes and makes a fire, cuts up his own oxen, burns the yoke as a sacrifice to the Lord that day is finished and now I'm going to walk with him. It's actually a picture of revival coming to you, revival happening, and then all of a sudden you just go into renewal? Do you ever hear again Elisha having to be revived? No, because he walked with Elijah, who was a type of Christ. He walked with this man all the time. To the point where at the end of Elijah's life, he's about to be taken up into heaven, and four times he says at four different locations, "Stop following me." Imagine that. Stop following me. But Elisha had learnt that he didn't need to stop and have something boom again. If he kept on going where the Lord had called him, he'd receive his blessing. And then he prays, and all of a sudden, what happens? The mantle falls on him again, and he gets a double portion of everything Elijah ever did. And it's so perfect that if you actually go in the Bible, every single miracle, every single thing that Elijah did, biblically, there is double in Elisha's life. That's so good. It's so accurate. But that represents revival, right? So Elijah's coming, boom, and the revival happens. Whoa! He didn't stay there and go, "This is really good." He burnt everything. He chopped up his own ox, but they were very expensive. And if you look at how many he had, that would have made him a very wealthy man and his family very wealthy. He cuts it all up, burns it on the exact spot, and then follows Elijah into this incredible renewal. I just love the story. It's just fantastic. So we're going to pray in a moment. And I pray for us to have an experience with the Holy Spirit where we actually come away from this notion of having to have revival and coming into this notion of actually living in renewal. Because when I went to write our update, which is a few weeks ago, I said I'm going to release an update of what's called perpetual renewal. As I went to write it, the Holy Spirit said to me, "No, not now." So I'm still, well, I've got about half of it done, but he will not, he's restrained me from saying some things until we go a little bit further in together. Isn't it amazing that it says that Paul was restrained by the Holy Spirit from entering a town? Just think of this, right? Paul had the power of God moving on his life. Do we agree? Yeah. Was Paul good at preaching? Yeah. So much so that a guy died when he was preaching because he's preaching so long. What about that one, eh? He's preaching, a boy falls out the window, dies. I'll bring him back up. We'll resurrect him. That's okay. Continue on preaching. So we all agree that Paul was moving, yeah? Paul was moving in the Spirit, yeah? We agree that Paul could have gone anywhere and the Spirit of God would have come. But Paul had this incredible relationship with the Holy Ghost that he wasn't looking to release the Spirit. He was looking to be obedient. And that obedience allowed him to steward renewal in a way that he didn't have to keep doing revivals everywhere. He just had a steward renewal everywhere he went. And Paul's journey, it's incredible, right? I love this. It says the Holy Spirit restrained him from going into a city. What would that look like? He's going, I don't know what it looked like, but it's like that whole incredible intimacy that he had with Jesus Christ, that he was able to be restrained by the Holy Spirit. He was able to be restrained by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to finish here. Biblical renewal is not making something new, okay? It is making it way better than it ever has been. I want you to think about that. That's what renewal, the word itself means. It doesn't, in the Greek, it doesn't mean making something new again. It means making something way better than it ever has been. Who's up for some of that? Who's got faith today that their knee joint that needs healing would be way better than it ever was when it was best before? Come on. My wife taught on this a few years ago, that renewal, that reconciliation, that redemption, these words mean that things get way better than they were at their best time before, if we have faith, amen? Jesus commanded us to come into Him and go from being a disciple of Him and become, as He said, a disciple of the kingdom. He said that, a disciple of the kingdom. I'm just going to read Matthew, the last part of Matthew 13, 40, 52 again to you as we go to pray. It says this in verse 51. "Have you ever understood these things?" "Yes," they said to him. "Therefore, every person who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven Another translation says, every person who is a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out, this, I love this part, who brings out his treasure. That word his is a non-gender stereotypical word. It means sons and daughters. Brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. The original translation says this, he brings out new gems to join his old treasure. What does that actually mean? You think, why did Jesus say this? It means this, is that there are things that you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit that are going to be new to you and new to us. They're not new to God. He knows everything. But they are new to you and they are new to us. And that's going to be combined with this ancient treasure, sanctification, glory. We could go on and on and on. And the mixing of those two revelations, new and old, is going to produce incredible fruit. We've been taught in the body for a long time that an old wineskin is bad. Who's ever heard that, right? Don't be an old wineskin, right? Well, I want to bring a correction to theology today because an old wineskin is not bad. An old wineskin is a wineskin that hadn't been continually plunged into oil and water. What's renewal? Being continually plunged all the time. An old wineskin, the reason it was old was actually the word is a real Aussie word. It means this, an old wineskin wasn't dunked enough. You ever been to one of those school fates? I always get chosen to be the person sitting on the thing that people throw stuff at. Maybe it's my ugly head. I don't know what it is, right? But when you hit that thing, you can't go, oh, I'm not going to get wet. It's like, poof, poof, right? And what we have is an old wineskin is not bad because it's old. An old wineskin is no use because it hasn't been dunked, right? And what I'll say in here is this. There are people in here because of their age only, they have walked in kingdom truth that people that are younger have not experienced. Can we say amen? And what we need to do is this. We need to be very careful about saying the old is not good anymore and the new is the only thing. What we need to do is take what is great from the old and what is really good from the new and see them move together. None of this one generational church. I go to a church, I go to the over 55 service. Well, in heaven, there's no over 55 service. Or I go to the hipster service. If you're over 35, you can't come. No, well, that's not biblical. In the Bible, they were all together in one place. Amen? They were not all the same age. If you're leading a church like Timothy was in Ephesus, in the biggest city of that time in the world, and you've got Jesus' mum coming to your church, you must be doing okay. But what Timothy gets the charge to go to the elders, to go to the people that are older than him and call them back to the feet of Christ. Somehow they've gone away from the feet of Christ and he calls them back to the feet of Jesus. An old wineskin is not bad in itself. An old wineskin is bad because it hasn't been dunked continually. If I had the time, which I don't right now, I would take you and show you at least five times in the New Testament that we know where Paul was dunked again. How good is that story in Acts 19 where Paul meets two believers, the Bible says? Because you can be a disciple of Jesus and go to heaven. Who believes that? But you could also be a disciple of the kingdom and steward it all across the earth right now, right? Doesn't mean those people are terrible at all. But Paul meets two believers, the Bible says, and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? And their answer is staggering. They say, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Doesn't it sound like today in Australia right now? The holy who? Holy baloney. What? Holy moly. And we have a mandate as a people, as a kingdom family, I believe this is to be a true statement, that we have a mandate to share with people the kingdom of heaven and give them an experience through Christ of who the Holy Spirit really is. And so he says, listen, we'll pray. And what happens? He prays, and what happens to the place around them? What's that? It's shaken. And if you go and look at the actual word, it means geographical, the ground was shaking. Come on, who's believing for that when you go pray? How good's that? You're in Coles. Zeke's in, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Zeke. He's 19. Amen. Wish I was that good looking at 19. We've been all right, mate. And Zeke goes into Coles with Josh, because it says where two or more are gathered, he's there with them. They go into Coles and they say, oh, there's that girl we saw in the vision. Right? And they go over and they pray for that girl in the vision. And all of a sudden, the shelves start to shake and the stuff starts flying off. That's going to change something, eh? They probably call you a devil. They probably, they're those boys that believe in the Holy Spirit. Right? But get this, the whole place was shaken. Their prayer, Paul's prayer in the power of the Spirit released such a move that the place was shaken. Whoa, wow. I don't know if Daniel Giorgio is still here, but me and Dan went and prayed. Who knows where Warramu Oval is? Yep. That's a great place to play. And to pray. Play and pray, or pray and then play. Whatever you want to do. Right? But it's also good to strap glow sticks to a football and play there at night time. Even better. Right? Especially when you can't see the next person running towards you. So good. Right? But we're praying there one night, and I get this word of knowledge for a girl to get her first name and her last name, right? So we pray. I said, Dan, do you know this girl? And he's like, that's weird. Yeah, I know her. And so we start praying, right? We're praying, and all of a sudden she rings on the phone. And she says, I'm about to kill myself. And I grabbed the phone and said, she goes, who are you? I said, doesn't matter. No, you're not. And I start praying, right? She didn't kill herself. That was good. But when we prayed that prayer, all of a sudden in the valley, it's the funniest thing happened. All of a sudden, and we were like, what the heck is this? Right? Then two dogs out of nowhere, German shepherds, just run towards us. And Dan, where is he? I'll get him. Right? He hides behind me. The dogs come to us and they stop. They didn't, I don't know how to explain this, right? But they come into this zone and they had stopped. And they went back. I said to him, I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, you can get eaten first. I was just like, what is this? But the reason I share the story is this, is that that didn't come because we were going, oh, boom, boom, all the time. It came because we had purposed in our heart to live in his kingdom. And by faith, it says, all things happen. Amen. I want to pray for all of us today that the gift of faith would be released. Not a little bit of faith. I want the gift of faith, because it says this in the Bible. Every gift of the Spirit is actually given to you according to the measure of faith you have for the gift. Yes? Is that true? So I want to pray for you for the gift of faith to be released so it can grow every other gift in you. Not for your purpose so you can get go on God TV and, you know, build a big ministry. If that's you, amen, go for it. But so you can see his kingdom come into this earth, and as Dom is being annoying everyone with, which I love, that the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of God and of his Christ. How good's that? I pray that Dom annoys everyone with that. Because that reminder of the kingdom of this world becoming the kingdom of God and of Christ gives us an understanding about what we're about. If our best effort is to build a small local church, right? That's not what we're called to, amen? If our best effort is to get on YouTube and get 100 million likes, that's not what we're about. We're about seeing the kingdom of God be released in this region and the surrounding regions, amen? We're about a generation that's coming after us not having to be revived with the paddles of life, but being able just to live in a continual renewal. Continual renewal. Continual renewal. And this has really changed my life. When the Holy Spirit started to talk to me about revival, not having to do this or do that, it really changed me, because I was taught when I got saved, I didn't grow up as a Christian. I got saved at 24. And I got taught the wrong way about revival. I got taught revival is the only thing you need. It's not. Revival is a great doorway and access point to renewal. But it's definitely not the place that we stop. Revival is a great place to start. But it's a horrible place to finish. So let's be a people who we contend for revival, but in the right way. And we pray when it comes, we're like, thank you, Lord. And then we see renewal come. Let's pray together. If you have issues in your body or you want prayer for anything, you can please let us know. We'll definitely pray for you. I want to get some testimonies as well from the weekend, but let me just pray for the gift of faith. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that you say, Holy Spirit, that every gift you've given us is in measure with the faith we have to release it. So all across this room right now, all across this region right now, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask you to release the gift of faith in the name of Christ. That gift of faith would grow giftings and callings, identity. It'd grow character in every person, that they would start to step into whatever you have for them, Lord. We pray they would stand up and in. They would, Lord, they would put their foot on the ground, so to speak, and they would step into royal dominion, Lord, over that thing. And Father, we ask you to release this gift of faith by your name alone, Jesus Christ. You are the Nazarene. You are the Nazarite. You are the one who came, the one who is, and the one who's coming again. And so, Holy Spirit, release that gift of faith. We pray, Father, now for hopelessness. Where hopelessness plagues the believer, we pray for hope to be released in the name of Jesus. Where chaos is plaguing believers, we decree peace and shalom over those people now in the name of Jesus. And we just say, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We say, Lord, we thank you for revival today. We thank you for every move of the Holy Spirit that has happened, is happening, and will happen. But Lord, may we not stop there. May we start there. May that be a great starting point for people, God. And may we walk in this renewal that you've given us day by day. We thank you, Father, for your promises. And we thank you for your presence that's always with us. We thank you, Father, for every tender mercy you release to us, every time you forgive us, everything, Father, we are so thankful this morning. And we just ask, Lord, that this gift of faith would be released in your name alone, Yeshua. Amen.